Good afternoon, everybody. It's great to be here. I'd like to thank Reverend Jesse Jackson and Operation Push for hosting us. I remember Reverend Jackson stood with us that day in June 2003 when we voted out those rules. He was with us every second until those rules were stopped, and he's with us today. We thank him for his leadership. So it's entirely appropriate that we come back here to Chicagoland to discuss media ownership and diversity. This area is one of the most racially and ethnically diverse of any in America, but the ownership of the media outlets look nothing like the people they're licensed to serve. It's outrageous that in Chicago, with all of its diversity, has the lowest proportion of minority radio ownership of the nation's 22 largest markets. Thank God for WVON that's here. We have something. So here we have a city, roughly two-thirds of the people in this city are black and Hispanic, over half are women, but they collectively own just 5 or 6% of the TV and radio stations. There's something clearly wrong with this picture. With this much diversity among the people of Chicago and so little diversity in the ownership of the media, it's only fitting that we hold the hearing on media ownership right here. And this hearing rightly focuses on media diversity and on ownership diversity. It's right in the founding charter of the FCC that our job is to promote the public interest, not the interest of the media giants that we are said to oversee. That charter requires us to take affirmative steps to prevent discrimination on the basis of race, gender, religion, and nationality. And it requires us to take affirmative steps to promote the diversity of ownership, because in America, ownership is the key to having your voice heard. It's not enough to simply work the land. In America today, it's more important to own the land. Now, African Americans in Chicago understand this distinction all too well. Many families migrated from the south of Chicago during the early decades of the 20th century to escape sharecropping, poor economic conditions, lynch mobs. They migrated here seeking better living conditions, economic and political rights. The Chicago Defender, the pioneer of the black press, was remarkably successful in encouraging this great migration. Now, many of these migrants who came to Chicago started businesses, they were entrepreneurs. Since then, Hispanic Americans have come and so many other ethnic groups to pursue the American dream right here in Chicago. But as we all know, when it comes to the ownership of the public airwaves, that dream has not been realized. Ownership of broadcast and radio TV stations by females and minority groups is a dream deferred, a dream neglected by the FCC, the very agency that is designed to protect your rights. When it comes to ensuring that the composition of the people who use the public's airwaves to serve the American people also look like the American people, the FCC's legacy does not make us proud. As one recognized expert on the FCC's history of managing the public airwaves and minority concerns has said, for three generations, the FCC has waged a deliberate campaign calculated specifically to ensure that people of color would be barred from membership in the nation's most exclusive private club, the public airwaves. And he added that it's unfortunate the FCC continues with its anti-diversity campaign today. In a rare moment of candor before I joined the FCC, the FCC itself acknowledged that, as a result of our system of awarding broadcast licenses in the early days, no person of color won a competitive hearing until 1975. It concluded that, and I'm going to quote, the special incentives for minority businesses are needed in order to compensate for a very long history of official actions which deprive minorities of meaningful access to the public spectrum. The FCC said this as a group in 1995. Unfortunately, today, women and people of color continue to be deprived of meaningful access. The FCC has not promoted policies to compensate or promote diversity, an interest that the Supreme Court has recognized as a compelling state interest. Rather than taking regulatory steps to promote diversity of ownership, in fact, we've taken steps specifically to undermine it. In 2003, over my strong objection and that of my colleague, Commissioner Copps, the Commission changed ownership rules to permit big companies to get even bigger. Opportunities to promote small, female, and minority-owned businesses were cast aside. In fact, the Commission actually repealed the only remaining rule that we had on the books specifically aimed at fostering diversity. As your own Senator Barack Obama said, an excellent statement, as was Senator Durbin's, we promoted the concept of consolidation over diversity. The result of this consolidation is not only a lack of ownership diversity, but it's also a lack of programming diversity. And again, people of color are the biggest losers. We see the constant stereotyping we've heard about today of African-American, Latino men and women by multinational corporations. They have no real connection to the needs of the community. Because the FCC's refused to define broadcasters' public interest obligations, investors on Wall Street and advertisers on Madison Avenue dictate the images your children see, and those images define our children's dreams for the future. So pimps and thugs become common fare. And this is why I'm pleased that your own Congressman, Bobby Rush, is holding hearings on Capitol Hill about stereotypes in the media. And that's why I'm pleased that our chairman, Chairman Martin, invited organizers from Enough is Enough campaign to address the public about these concerns here today. Luckily, the federal appellate court reversed the FCC's 2003 order. In a stinging indictment, the court said, and I'm quoting, "Repealing its only regulatory provision that promoted minority ownership is inconsistent with the commission's obligation to make broadcast spectrum available to all people without discrimination on the basis of race." Can you imagine a court would, in this century, reprimand us in that way? The FCC's decision marked a sad day and a sad history of neglect of minority ownership by the FCC. We now need a comprehensive response to the lack of diversity in programming and ownership. We need to develop policies that engage minorities as owners of the media, not as consumers or sharecroppers. We need to turn our legacy around. Turn this history around, starting right here, right now in Chicago, right here at Rainbow Push, Dr. King's workshop. So today, as one who believes that we should no longer shirk our responsibility to the American people, I'm calling on all of my colleagues and our chairman to join me in creating a bipartisan, independent panel to review more than 40 policy recommendations that were proposed by the FCC's Diversity Committee and the Minority Media Telecommunications Council. We need to put the past behind us and establish a panel of outside experts to conduct a thorough review of all of these regulatory proposals, the dozens of diversity enhancement recommendations that have been collecting dust at the FCC as far back as 1992. I think 15 years is long enough, don't you? As they say, justice deferred is justice denied. So I hope that the chairman and my colleagues will join me in creating this independent panel representing the interests of all stakeholders. We want the broadcasters, minority and female broadcasters included, investors, advertisers, public interest groups, all the experts to help us deliver a comprehensive answer to the dearth of female and minority ownership. We can't wait any longer. We need the answers to these fundamental issues of justice, fairness, and diversity before we act on any rules to further consolidate the media. It'd be wrong to make any decision about media ownership until we implement policies recommended by the independent panel to improve the sorry state of female and minority ownership. And as Commissioner Kopp said, it'd be wrong to make any changes to our media ownership rules that would undercut the ability of women and people of color to own the airwaves and have their unique voices heard. There's no need to delay. We can accomplish this quickly if we start now. We need to live up to our charter once and for all. So thank you for coming out, and I'm ready to hear from all of you. I appreciate your having us.